Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is December 9th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our Lunch and Learn. And it is the third day of Chanukah, and so we are again going to do a Chanukah topic, or a Chanukah-related topic. And what we're going to do today, I think, is actually pretty neat. We're going to look at a number of different times in the Talmud when the school of Hillel and the school of Shammai, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, disagree about specific issues. See if we could find a common denominator to them, as well as some connection to how they view Chanukah. So let's start with Chanukah. On the first page of the source book, this is the well-known dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about how to light Chanukah candles. What we're teaching today is based on an article by Rav Itamar Eldar, which is in the same volume that I used for last week's class, this wonderful volume full of Chanukah articles published by Yeshivat Haaretzion, Yediot Achronot, and Sifrei Chemed. And this book is, the article is in Hebrew in this book, and I found it in English on the internet. So here we go. Tanu Rabbanan, top of page 1, where it says A. And this is page 1 on the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Ner Yishuv Eto. While learning this Gemara, we're also going to learn something which is perhaps unique to Chanukah, that there are three different ways to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah candles. And we'll see which one became most popular. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Ner Ish Uveto. The most basic way to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah candles is to have the head of the household, one person, to light one candle in the home, regardless of what night of Chanukah is. Right? On the first night of Chanukah, one candle. On the second night of Chanukah, one candle. On the third night of Chanukah, one candle, regardless of what night of Chanukah is and regardless of how many people in your home. You could have six people in your home. On the third night of Chanukah, one candle.
So you don't have to light three if it's the third night.
Not according to this most basic way.
Okay? Is 1-1-1.
Each night, one candle, regardless of how many people in your household. V'hamehadrin, those who wish to perform in a more meticulous fashion, Ner l'chol echad ve'echad, one candle for each person in the household. So that means if you have five people in your house, on the first night of Chanukah, five candles. On the second night of Chanukah, five candles. On the third night of Chanukah, five candles. It's not, according to the second opinion, we don't light in accordance with the night of Chanukah. We light in accordance with the number of people in the household. V'hamehadrin min hamehadrin, if one wants to be even more meticulous, Beit Shammai Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona.
Oh,
on the first night of Chanukah, you light eight. Mikan ve'elech pochet ve'holech. And on each subsequent night, you light one less candle. So 8, 7, 6, 5, etc. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat. Mikan ve'elech mosif ve'holech. On the first night, you light one. And on the second, you light two. On the third, you light three. Now, within this opinion of Mehadrin min Amahadrin, that you light candles in accordance with the night, the number of candles corresponds to the night of Chanukah, either 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. There's a debate in the Rishonim as to whether or not this is building on the basic opinion or the second opinion. What's the difference? If it's building on the basic opinion, that means on the first night of Chanukah, regardless of the number of people in your home, let's take Beit Hillel's view, on the first night of Chanukah, no matter how many people are in your home, there's one candle, there's one Chanukiah with one candle. On the second night of Chanukah, regardless of how many people are in your home, there's one Chanukiah with two candles. And on the third night, there's one Chanukiah with three candles. That's one group of Rishonim, one group of commentaries on the Talmud. The other group of commentaries on the Talmud says, no, this especially meticulous view is building on the second approach, which would mean on the first night of Chanukah, if you have three people in your home, there are three Chanukiyot, each with one candle. On the fourth night of Chanukah, if you have three people in your home, there are three Chanukiyot, each with four candles. So there's a debate as to how to fulfill this Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. That's not what we're talking about, but now you know where our custom comes from, of lighting a Chanukiah with one candle on the first night, two candles on the second night, three on the third night, in accordance with Beit Hillel, and some families will have only one Chanukiah in accordance with some of the commentaries, and some families will have a separate Chanukiah for each member of the family according to other commentaries.
What happened to the one that you start with eight? Because that I had heard before.
That's rejected.
It is rejected. Nobody does that.
That's rejected.
I know the reason. The reason is that Malim Bakodesh
Velo Excellent, Chana. So now, how about what's the reason? Good, Chana is correct. We're not going to get there. Well, we will. Let's read it. Let's read B. What's the reason for each opinion? Right? We know why. According to Chana, Hillel says we go up in sanctity. But what's Beit Hill? What's Beit Shammai's reason? They must have a reason too. To go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So let's see. Amar Ula. In B, on the same page. Amar Ula, said Ula, Pligi ba tre amorae b'ma'arva. There were two amoraim in the west. What's the west? Where is this argument taking place?
In Babel.
In Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel is west of Babel. So they're saying, they're talking in Babel.
But they're talking about
So the they're West. Saying... In the West, there's an argument. What's the West? If you're in Babel, what's the West? Eretz Israel. So the rabbis in Israel are arguing. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. The two rabbis who are arguing are these two rabbis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. One of them is the son of Avin, and the other is the son of Zvida. Chadamar Tama de Beit Shammai Keneged Yamim HaNichnasim. Beit Shammai's opinion is that we light the number of lights based on the future, the incoming days, right? So on the first night of Chanukah, how many days of Chanukah are left?
Eight.
On the second night of Chanukah, there are seven days left. So we base it, we're doing it based on how much is left until there are no more days of Chanukah, okay? V'tama de Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel's reason is, Keneged Yamim Hayotz'in. Beit Hillel's opinion is corresponds to the outgoing day. So on the first night of Chanukah, one night is finished and one day is going to be finished. On the second night of Chanukah, two nights and 2 days are finished. And so Beit Shammai is counting down and Beit Hillel is counting up. Now just to show you that Chana was right, that's only one opinion. The Charamar, the other opinion says, no, that's not what they're arguing about. Tama de Beit Shammai keneged parei hachag. Beit Shammai bases his opinion corresponding to the number of karbanot brought on the festival of Sukkot. And each day there was one fewer karban brought. So we light corresponding to that. Well, what's your question? What is right? Ma inyan shemitah etzel har Sinai. What does it do with the price of tea in China? Why am I lighting Chanukah candles based on the number of karbanot brought on Sukkot? We'll get to that in a second. V'tama debeit Hillel d'malin b'kodesh v'ed moridim. Like Chana said, we go up in sanctity and not down. So let's answer this question. What's the connection between Sukkot? Why would Beit Shammai say that the reason we go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4 is because on Sukkot they did 13, 12, 11, 10? What does one do with the other? I do.
That's why I paid your tuition.
I do. The answer is. The answer is. What does that have to do though? You're on to something. Keep going.
Because it's happening in the
Beit
HaMikdash.
Each day corresponds to mispar korbanot that you would be bringing up.
But why Sukkot? Shammai says the reason we go down. We go down in candles because they went down each day in the number of karbanot on Sukkot.
So, what do you want, Rabbi? That's an example. That's a reference. Am I
Excellent answer.
Where they will take a reference.
That's a very good answer. Why not Pesach? Shavuot. Right, so.
What are we reading in the Torah?
We're reading this, but that's
Reba.
But that's putting the chicken before the egg. Karbanot, of course. Each day. No, that's what I'm saying. So, meaning Beit Shammai is saying, I'm using as a model Sukkot. Why? Use as a model Pesach.
What is the reasoning?
You want to just get to the answer. Chana's on to something. Chana is on to something. You understand my question? Beit Hillel shows. Beit Hillel bachar ledugma Sukkot. Lama hu lo bachar ledugma Pesach. So, it could be.
Shammai,
correct. It could be that the answer is one explanation of why we light eight candles to begin with. It's a famous question. If there was enough oil to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days, do the math. How long was the miracle?
Seven days.
So why do we have 8 days of Hanukkah? There should be 7 days of Hanukkah. Save us all a little bit of money on Hanukkah presents.
I know.
Right? So one answer is this, is that the reason is that the holiday that the Chashmonaim established was to make up for Sukkot. That the Syrian Greeks had already entered into the Beit HaMikdash by Sukkot and did not allow the Jews to celebrate Sukkot in the Beit HaMikdash. So as soon as they defeated the Greeks and re-consecrated the Beit HaMikdash, they celebrated a makeup for Sukkot. Sukkot is 8 days, so we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days.
Yeah, Sukkot in Eretz Israel is 7 days.
Only no, but then you add Shmini Atzeret. Okay. It's 8 days for everybody. It's 9 days here. Right? Right? You add 7 days for Sukkot, right? So it's 8 days. So they celebrated 8 days too. So that makes sense why Hillel chose Sukkot as the model of Karbanot.
Shammai,
thank you. Shammai chose Sukkot as the model because that's why we celebrate Chanukah.
We had to do the Karbanot, not the days.
But I heard another reason why we celebrate Chanukah
day. Right, good.
I don't know if it's true or not, the menorah was lit with pure olive oil.
Correct.
In order to prepare new. Because the card was a small jar,
right.
was a little one.
Right.
So they had to go to the Galil because the
oil. That's where they made it. Correct.
That's where they did the oil. So it took them, I think, like 3 days to go to the Galil, 3 days to come back, and to do 2 days oil. So
no, but they only three days there, 1 day to make the oil, 3 days there, 3 days back. That's 7 days. That's still, and they had enough for one. That's still only 7 day nace. You're right. That's another explanation given. Lots of explanations. Anyway, according to this explanation, that the reason we have 8 days is to make up for the missed Sukkot, it makes sense why Beit Shammai chose that as a dugma and not Pesach, because they were able to celebrate Pesach, but they weren't able to celebrate Sukkot, and they're making up for Sukkot, and therefore we follow that. That dugma of diminishing like they diminish. Okay, great. So this is the first argument. So the question though is, what is at the heart? Let's go back now to the first reason. Explain that the reason why Beit Shammai is because Yamim HaNichnasim, the days that are coming in, it's counting down, and Beit Hillel is counting up. According to Beit Shammai, what's a countdown? When you count down, you know when the end is. Right? 8, 7, 10, 9, right? When they lift off from a spaceship or the ball right? You know exactly when the big moment is. The big moment is at zero. Right? Right? So the moment you're in is not really so important because you know that you're heading
down.
You know exactly where you're headed.
You're heading for, right? You know your goal.
Beit Hillel, when you're counting up, where does it end? There's infinity, right? When you go down, there's definitely a zero. But when you're counting up, you don't really know where you're going to end. Obviously, we know we have only 8 days of Hanukkah. But when you count up towards something, same thing when we count Sfirat HaOmer, right? It's different. Sfirat HaOmer is different. We count Sefirat HaOmer, we count up the first day of the Omer, the second day of the Omer, the third day of the Omer. Interesting to think how that
even
fits in
we
here.
Know it's the
but when it comes to counting up, generally, we count up and we don't know where we were going. So that moment that you're in actually takes on a little bit more significance because you don't know what's going to be next. Maybe there won't be another a day to count up, right? Maybe you won't go up. Right? You don't know. So let's keep that in mind because it could be that helps us understand a lot of different debates between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Again, Beit Hillel is focused on the moment now. Today is the first day of Chanukah. It's the first day of the miracle. And Beit Shammai is saying, oh, but there's still 8 more days to come. This is good, but look what's yet to come. Let's see. So let's look at another debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on page 2. This is a debate, a difference about how Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel prepared for Shabbat. Ready? Page 2a. Tanya. Amru alav al Shammai hazakein. Now this isn't Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. These are the founders, right, of the house of Shammai and the founders of the house of Hillel. Amru alav al Shammai hazakein. It was said about Shammai the elder. Kol yamav haya ochel lichvot Shabbat. Every day he would eat in honor of Shabbat. What does that mean? Matzah beheima na'ah, omer lo la Shabbat. So if he found a choice animal, he would say, this is for Shabbat. He would save it for Shabbat. Like on Tuesday, if he found a nice piece of meat, he would in the shuk, he would buy it and say, I'm saving it for Shabbat. How he preserved it, I'm not sure, but separate question. Omer, okay. However, matzah behema. Okay, matzah acheret na ehemena. Let's say on Thursday he found a more beautiful choice cut of meat. Meniach etashnia, he would set aside the second one for Shabbat. Ve'ochel et harishon, not eat the first one. So he was always meaning whenever he was. What does it mean? He was always eating. He was always eating to honor Shabbat. He was always eating the least choice of meat in order to save the best choice for Shabbat.
He always had in his mind what's for Shabbat.
Very nice. So what about Hillel? About Hillel, hazakein mida acheret haitalo. Hillel the elder had a different approach. Shekol ma'asav l'shem shamayim. All of his actions were for the sake of heaven. Shenemar baruch Hashem yom yom. Blessed be the Lord day by day. Okay, now, so what's the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel?
Beit Hillel is not saving it for the next.
Correct.
Beit Hillel is living in the moment.
It's similar to the argument about the candles, right? Beit Shammai is saying, I'm always looking towards the Shabbat, to what's at the end of the countdown, right? The countdown starts on Sunday, it ends on Shabbat. That's the goal. I'm always going there. What happens now, not so important. I'll eat the least important meat now. I'll save the best one. It's very wonderful, but he's always looking for Shabbat. Beit Hillel is a different view. Every single moment
is important.
Right? It's not that I just am going to serve Hashem by eating my best piece of meat on Shabbat. Right? I'm going to serve Hashem
every
moment, right? Every single day. He's eating in the present. So it's possible, right, that the argument between Beit Shammai and the argument between Beit Hillel about how to light the Chanukah candles is a direct outgrowth as to how the founders of their respective schools of thought, right, Shammai HaZakein and Hillel HaZakein, viewed life in general.
Right.
Okay, let's see if there's more about, if there's one more piece here that fits into this. Is a beautiful weaving of sources. Page 3. This is from the Gemara in Masechet Chagigah. This is a fascinating debate. Everyone see that? Where it says A? Mm-hmm. The source of each thing, by the way, is on the bottom. See, on the bottom it says Chagigah Perek Bet Daf Yud Bet. Chagigah Perek 2, 12a. Tanu Rabbanan. There's a dispute between Beit Shammai. Now we're back to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We start off with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Then we went to Hillel HaZaken and Shammai HaZaken. And now we're back to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So what are they arguing about? Beit Shammai Omrim Shamayim Nivru Tchila. They're arguing, what was created first, the heavens or the earth?
Okay.
Ah, okay, let's see. Very good. Shamayim Nivru Tchila. Biakach Nivrei Ta'aretz. Beit Shammai says the heavens were created first, and then the land, the Aretz. Shenemar Bereshit Bara Elokim Et HaShamayim V'et HaAretz. Right? Like you said, first God created the heavens, and then the earth. Ubeit Hillel Omrim Eretz Nivrei Tchila. No, says Beit Hillel. First the land was created. V'achakach Shamayim. And afterwards the land. And the heavens. Why? Shenemar Bayom Asot HaShem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim. So now we have two dueling verses in the Torah, two dueling psukim, which seem to... So now, what happens when you have two dueling psukim? Shnei ketuvim ha-machishim zeh. You have two verses that...
Translating each other.
Right? You need a third verse. However, there's no third verse to be machriya. So what are we going to use for proof? Logic. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are going to each... Now contend that their view makes sense logically. Also with some help from Sukim. Yes, Yitzhak, you're shaking your head in disbelief.
Because it doesn't make... I mean, we know that we are living in a galaxy and Shamayim...
So we're living
in a galaxy.
Yeah.
The galaxy, I mean, there is a... Shamayim all around us, and then there was a...
Why do you say and then? Maybe he created the earth and then the galaxy. Mapito, that's what they're talking about. How do you know? And first, by the way, that's first of all. Second of all, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai did not know about such thing as a galaxy.
Right. Well, that's my point. So then on top of that, I'll say, we cannot be, you're dying, say,
that's light and dark, not Eretz v'Shamayim.
So,
that will be another.
That's another shiur. Now, by the way, we have to also understand. We're going to try to get to a conceptual understanding. It's what I'm trying to suggest is that they're not necessarily really arguing about what was created first. Who cares, really? But conceptually, right? No, I don't think they care about what was. I think they're arguing on a concept, which we're going to get to. But let's see, and the concept's going to come clear in the second piece. Which now, once they have two verses that cancel each other out, how do they each defend themselves? So Amar Lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, "L'divreichem, according to you, Adam bone aliyah v'achakach bone bayit." Does a person build an attic or a second floor and then the house? Right? What do you build first? You build the first floor, the house, and then you build the attic.
Yeah,
right?
Where is Hashem leaving?
Good. Oh, hold on to that thought. Adam bone aliyah v'chakach bone bayit, shenemar habone v'shamayim ma'alotav v'agudotav al eretz yasada. It is he who builds his upper chambers in the heaven and has founded his vault upon the earth, indicating the upper floor, heaven, was built above the earth. Okay, so what do you build first? You build the base, the foundation, and then the aliyah. Okay, that's a good point. If God is building according to the rules of engineering and physics, then you have to build the bottom first. Okay, maybe not. Amru lahem Beit Shammai leBeit Hillel. Wait a second. Beit Shammai says to Beit Hillel, "Divreichem Adam Oseh." Does a person first make the footstool and make the seat, the throne after? Right? God sits in heaven. And the earth is my footstool. So what comes first? You first build a throne. So what came first? Shamayim. So they each now have a different view. Now this is, Nitzah's correct here. This is really about how they viewed God. The Chachamim come along and they try to make peace. A call came at the same time. Shemar. Okay, great. But the question now is, what's the nikudata machloket, right? What is the point of the disagreement between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that comes across in this in their argument as to, from an architectural perspective, what comes first? Again, Beit Hillel says Hashem sits here on earth, right? And so we build his throne here on earth. And Beit Shammai says, no, Hashem sits in the heaven, and all we have here of Hashem are his feet. But his essence, right, is whatever that means, is in heaven. So this is conceptually, they're going through a very similar argument, it could be, right? Let's just take Beit Shammai. I'll read you the English translation of Rav Eldad's article. Beit Shammai perceived the relationship between heaven and earth as that between a throne and a footstool. Heaven, argues Beit Shammai, is God's throne, whereas the earth is his footstool. In this way, it is the way of man to first build the throne and only afterwards to build the footstool. Beit Shammai's metaphor reflects not only upon the order, but also upon the focus. God's principal dwelling place, according to this image, is in heaven. Only its fringes stand upon earth. Which actually relates right back to the thing about what Beit Shammai, what Shammai did with the Shabbos food. Where do you see Hashem, and therefore save the food? Your real encounter with Hashem is on Shabbos. In the heavens, in the holiness of Shabbat. Right? However, let's look at Beit Hillel. In contrast, Beit Hillel's metaphor is that the house is that of a house with an upper story. The earth is the house, and the heaven is the upper story. And one first constructs the house, and only afterwards the upper story. This too has ramifications not only regarding the order, but regarding the focus. A person's principal place of dwelling is the main part of his house. Only occasionally does he go up to the attic. So too, according to this image, God's principal dwelling place is on earth, and only on occasion does he go to heaven, which is Beit Hillel, right, who's invested in the here and now. So he's, remember, Hillel HaZaken served Hashem every single day, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, right? So according to Beit Shammai, man encounters God only in that which is holy. Therefore, I'm looking forward to Shabbat. I'm counting down with the candles to get to Shabbat, because that's where I'll encounter God. But according to Hillel, I encounter God each and every day. So I count up. This day is holy. Second day is holy. Third day is holy. Who knows where I'm going to go? It could be, which is why we light one candle and then two candles, right? Because maybe, I'm not sure in Gemara we wouldn't say Hillel Hachi Chamud. We say Hillel Hachi Beit Hillel. Exactly. Almost all the time we go like Beit Hillel. So now one other thing.
So he wants to make you happy.
Right. Correct. We follow him. Now, here's an interesting question then that Rav Eldar brings up. How are each of these rabbis feeling on the day after Hanukkah? Let's think about the ninth day. So maybe not. Shammai is counting towards zero when he wants to get back to the normal way of building, of lighting the Beit HaMikdash, in the Beit HaMikdash without the miracle, the normal way, right? So that's what he's looking forward to. But Beit Hillel, it could be that the absence of the miracle makes him sad because he's always
big now.
We said that when you count up, you never know when it's going to end. But when it does end, maybe you're a little depressed, right? When the meal is over, maybe you're a little sad. As opposed to Beit Shammai, he's looking forward to get to that point. So what do you? Maybe Beit Hillel is a little bit sad at the end of Chanukah. But Rav Eldar draws our attention to two statements by Rav Nachman Mibreslov to try to help us feel a little better about the end of Chanukah. Okay. Page 4. Okay? Where it says A and B.
Nachman, that you see those things in Yerushalayim?
Well, I'm not so sure if they are okay. A faithful adherence to his tradition. We're going to read his words in his own words. The closest thing we have to his own words. I don't know anything about the people who claim to be nowadays students of Rabbi Nachman. Okay, here we go. So he says as follows. U'be'emet, ein anu yicholin lahavin mahu teva v'hashkacha. The truth is, we cannot really understand what is nature and what is providence. Ki be'emet gam hateva hu hashkachato yitbarach. For in fact, right, for in truth, nature is also God's providence. V'zeh i'efshar la'adam la'havin shnei divarim ke'echad. It is impossible for a person to understand these two things as one. Dainu hateva shebe'emet hi hashkachato yitbarach. That nature is truly God's providence. Now let's add this other piece and then we'll put it all together. So, this is going to be very interesting. The question that Rav Nachman is answering in B is, what's the point of an open miracle? Right? What's the point of the miracle? Let's just take the miracle of Hanukkah. What's the point? What is the objective?
Showing the uniqueness for an event, so against the law of nature.
Okay, so the question is, what happens after that event is over, right? Like the ninth day of Hanukkah, the day after Hanukkah, the ninth day. Is it a Beit Shammai outlook or a Beit Hillel outlook? Let's see what Rav Nachman says. This is really very beautiful. Rav Nachman says as follows. He says, V'hit galut haratzon hu al yidei yamim tovim. The revelation of the will, right, comes across in the holidays. Ki kol echad mehayamim tovim machriz v'korei u'migale et haratzon. Every holiday reveals and calls out God's will. Sha'kol mitnaheg rak al pi ritzono bilvad. That everything works only in accordance with God's will. Ki b'chol yom tov v'yom tov asa Hashem yitbarach imanu otot noraot. On each festival, God performed marvelous signs for us. Sheheim hefech hateva. Right? That's the opposite of nature. She'al yidei zeh nitgaleh haratzon. Right? Through those miracles, God's will is revealed. She'akol b'ritzono ve'ein shum chiyuv hateva klal. Everything follows his will, there being nothing necessitated by nature at all. Meaning nature is really God's will. So what's the point of a miracle then? It seems that what Rav Nachman is saying is that the point of a miracle is to remind us of God's constant presence, of God's constant hashkacha in the world, so that when we go back to the routine, it's not routine, right? That we don't view the routine as routine anymore. That when we see the sun coming up every day, we're supposed to be amazed. But sometimes, when you see it over and over and over and over and over again, you know, it loses its luster, right? So when bring it to the Hanukkah story, right? When the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash was lit with oil over and over and over again, you begin to lose your fascination in the fact that oil burns. But then when oil, which is only supposed to last for one day, lasts for 8 days, then you're reminded, it's God that makes oil burn, right? Even though, of course, oil burns, but why does oil burn? Right, Abram Joshua Heschel made a statement. I meant to bring it to you. Something along the lines of the fact that there are facts at all is miraculous. Right, we look at engineering and physics as being normal. That's true because they work all the time. But they work all the time because that's how God set up the world. So the purpose of a miracle, it seems, not to count down, so we're done. The purpose of a miracle is just to sort of be that. That's what the Chagim are for. That's why they're sprinkled all over the calendar, which actually makes sense that Hanukkah comes now, because we're in the longest stretch without any biblical holidays, from Sukkot all the way to Shavuot, to Pesach. 6 months. That's later. I'm talking about biblical holidays, right? And even if you want to go to Purim, it's still 4 or 5 months.
Yeah,
it's a big stretch. It's a big stretch. So Hanukkah
it gives us that extra boost, right, to remind us. So it's actually a very beautiful idea that we shouldn't be depressed if we understand the message of Hanukkah this way. When Hanukkah ends, we shouldn't be
sad.
We should be re-energized to see things in a new way. In a new light, right? Just Hanukkah was sort of that sort of boost to remind us of that.
Well, that's what Hillel said, that every day is a day for...
Right, and that gets us back to Hillel. We should be living that way, but sometimes we forget, so we need a holiday to help us remember. Yes?
But it's not a holiday not to
walk. Pardon?
It is not a holiday not to walk.
Correct, neither is Purim.
Right.
Right.
So we created it.
Yes.
In order to boost us.
Could be.
But it's not really not to
work. Because there is a Easter.
Correct.
Event.
Correct. We created it. Totally.
Yes.
Not only we created, we also created Purim. But there's a big difference between Hanukkah and Purim. Hanukkah happened in a place where there were, in a time of history, where Nivuah was over. There was no more prophecy. Purim, there was still prophecy. But Hanukkah, no prophecy, which that makes it even a bigger type of innovation or creation. And correct. Maybe the rabbis felt that we needed this boost in this long stretch. So let's make a
Yom Tov. Last time about the Hanukkah was standing in Beit HaMikdash. In which Beit HaMikdash?
Menorah. In every menorah. In both. There was a menorah in both.
Yeah, but only with six.
Seven. Correct.
It wasn't the Hanukkah of nine.
No.
But we do.
We made it.
We do an eight because, again, we have an eight-day holiday.
Right. But we do plan on where the menorah was standing. We would have thought the Hanukkah would stand.
No, they didn't light the Hanukkah in when they reestablished control of Beit HaMikdash. According to various accounts that ever happened, they rebuilt, they built a temporary menorah of Shiva Nerot and lit that. And everyone, then they said, in your homes, L'shana Acheret, starting the next year, we should do one of eight to remind us of
the miracle,
the 8 day, either of makeup of Sukkot or however you want to understand the reason of 8 days. Yeah. Okay, everyone, Yesher Koach. תודה לכם. מה?